Today's episode is brought to you by the Strand Tennis Center. Located just 40 minutes outside of Manhattan, the Strand is the tennis brainchild of owner Stephen Capo, and it's my favorite facility to sweat, learn, and have fun while playing tennis. Follow the Strand on Instagram or Twitter at Strand Tennis for more information.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
I mean, they always have a big mouth, they always talk a lot, so it happened before, it's gonna happen again.
Not every day you get to be the first person from your entire country to accomplish something. But our guest today did just that when she became the first player, man or woman, from Hungary to achieve the number one world ranking back on July 16th, 2018. That number one ranking would come on the doubles court, and it's why she's been regarded as one of the greatest doubles players of her generation. As a successful junior, she's captured three Grand Slam titles and come within one match from completing the coveted calendar Grand Slam. She'd carry that impressive form into her pro career as well. And in 2018, she'd win the first of her two career Australian Open titles, which was then bookended by another two French Open titles. Her singles career is one that millions have dreamt of having, as she's reached 25 in the world and has picked up three career WTA titles to add to her trophy case. She's a three-time WTA finals champion, a two-time Olympian, and today we get to know a player that knows what it feels like to be at the top of the women's game, and she's ready to make her move back there once again. Our guest today is the fantastic Tamea Babos. Tamea, welcome to Fantastic Tennis.
Hey, thanks for that intro. It's good.
Thank you. It's so great to meet you. I feel like we've been talking for like a minute. So this is finally, I'm so glad to see your face. I'm so glad we get to talk today. So thank you. Janopot. Yes. Have I been practicing? Yeah.
That's
not
good.
So bad.
Good afternoon. Yeah. Fair enough.
Can we start today with the Hungarian lesson? Because, you know, I've been trying to do a little research with this language and it's so beautiful. How do you say nice to meet you in Hungarian?
I think you picked the wrong language. It's a really tough one. They say it's one of the toughest ones. We say, örülök, hogy megismerhettelek.
Okay, well.
Whatever.
We'll start with Janapot. You know, that's a good first introductory lesson. All right, as we get deeper into the show, I'll try again. We'll say, oh man. We're fresh into the fall swing right now in the tennis season. It's cold where you are in Budapest, I'm assuming, because it's cold right now in New York City where I am, for sure. So I'm guessing the WTA has it right because they're ending the season in San Diego and Guadalajara and all these great places. So well done, at least. It's actually really cool that you're in Budapest right now. You get to be home. You just played in Parma. You played in Budapest not too long ago at your home tournament at the Budapest Open. After so much travel during the year, how nice is it to drive your own car and to cook in your own kitchen? Priceless, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been traveling enough in my life so far. So this week I'm home practicing, so not home and having a tournament. So that's also totally different. So I chose this week to be home and just enjoy my couch. So I'm talking from my couch now. And it's very different. I'm also a person who likes her privacy. And I like to travel and I love playing tennis, obviously, but yeah. I like to be a normal person. So to drive my car, as you say, to cook, just to go to the supermarket, to the store, to run around the city, just to have coffee, like, and obviously hear my own language, because as you said, or I don't know, I said maybe, but this language is ridiculous. And if I travel in the world, I never get to hear Hungarian. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, you don't get to hear it.
No, I mean, on my matches, I hear, because all the times, all the Hungarians are on my matches, which is amazing. But when I just walk in the city, anywhere in the world, like, I never listen Hungarian. So yeah, that's pretty good to be home. I love it.
Yeah. That's a calmness, right? I love that. You're driving your own car to practice. I'm assuming you're a karaoke assassin in the car, right? Are you screaming? I'm picturing you just like singing full volume in the car on the way to practice.
That could happen sometimes. Yes. Depends my mood. Depends when I go to practice. I'm an early person. I like to wake up early. I have my practices early, so I finish the day around 2-3 already, which is good, but I start at 6:30. So yeah, I mean, it's good. Like, obviously in the morning in the traffic, I'm more like just listening to books or something. But on my way back, when it's already like lighter and like I already practiced, but I'm tired, but not too much tired, then yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, I love this because I'm getting to know you now. I'm getting the sense of who Tamaya Babo says. You know, I know you from Instagram. So, you know, in the court. So I know you're a world-class tennis player. I know you love to read. I know you love to cook. Which, by the way, this week is very fall inspired. I know you were cooking this week too. I think it was chestnuts or something very fall.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, it looked delicious.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we had a huge garden. I grew up not in Budapest, but in a small city. And next to that city, there we have like a little farm, let's say. And we have chestnut trees. And this was like the first pick. So yesterday, everybody bakes it, let's say, just cutting it. But us, like, we always peel the whole thing. So I was just doing, before you called me, like I was doing like 12 or 15.
Peeling chestnuts?
Yeah, I will eat them after. Yeah.
I have a big sweet tooth. So for sure. I mean, if it's a little sweet, I mean, I'm into it. I was just telling you, my friend Madison Brengel, who is a major chef, I'm thinking a cookbook for you guys. That's what I want. I want a WTA cookbook, a Brengel Babos cookbook. I'm working on this deal. Let's do this.
I mean, I cannot compare myself to Media, but I love it. And I mean, once I stop my career and I have proper family and everything, for sure, I'm going to be doing it. I have motivation for that. Yeah.
No, I love it. It's good therapy. It for sure. We have so much to talk about today because your career, Tamaya, has been so epic. 4 career Grand Slam titles, 4 other Grand Slam doubles finals, 2 mixed finals, 27 total WTA singles and doubles titles, and you just keep going. You do, because I know the goal is to just keep adding to this total as you keep going, because it's just crazy when I say that out loud. All those numbers, that's just, it's unreal. When I read those statistics, everything you've accomplished so far, Tamaya, what goes through your mind when you hear an intro like that? I know you said, oh, wow, what an intro. But I mean, that's your career kind of all in a little bow tie, and we keep going. I mean, is it a proud feeling or is it more like, no, John, hold on. I have so much more to do. Don't even. I mean, we'll do this show in another 4 years.
No, I grew up like, let's say I never forget where I come from. So I'm from Hungary. It's not exactly a tennis nation. My dad was my coach. My mom and my dad, they did everything for me. And then also my sister, she played college tennis and she actually won NCAA in singles. So she was an amazing player too. She taught me a lot, for example, about doubles, but I'm obviously proud, but as it's not still the end of my career, I still have the feeling that I could do more. Obviously now I'm in the period where it's the toughest one so far in my career. It's not easy after an injury, but as I said, I still love tennis. I love to practice. I love to do my job. So I feel lucky for that because I know how many even players, they don't even love what they're doing. They just do because they kind of have to. But yeah, so I have motivation, I'm inspired, but on the other end, like, I'm not an arrogant person, so I'm reading it in some ways, I could have tears, but like, I'm shy, but obviously happy, so it's a very mixed feelings.
Yeah. Do you feel like a veteran when you're traveling to these tournaments and you see all these young players, or is it more like, I feel good, I feel like, you know, I can do this another 10 years, maybe?
Oh, no, I cannot do that for another 10 years. Yeah, but until the point that I like it, I will do it. I introduced tennis to my boyfriend and he introduced the basketball for me. So now we're like, I never watched so much tennis in my life. But yeah, like it's, as I said, it's good that we have all these new players. It's funny actually, because there was this one girl and I asked her for doubles for a tournament. And I said, listen, we never even met because you're really like new. And she's a freaking top 30. So she's like a very, very, very good player. And she's like, yeah, but it's okay. I know you. I was like, yeah, but it's kind of weird that we never met. And I'm just like texting you like, who is this person, you know? But I'm happy that the new generation, they also still know my name, even though I was out for a little bit. But yeah, it's fun.
There's so much to talk about today. I just love what you just said. I mean, you're honestly, you're still so young though. I mean, you're 29. If we compare 29 to maybe Serena and Roger, you have, again, another who knows how long on tour. But no, honestly though, probably not till 40, but you're still loving the game. So you're not going anywhere, which I think is great. So, you know, we're going to see you for another 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. We'll see. We'll see how long this goes today. Okay. It's been a crazy month, Tamea, for tennis fans, really, because we've had Serena and Roger, Andrei Petkovic, fan favorite, one of my favorites, all retiring. So it's a lot for me. It's a lot for me to process right now as a tennis fan. It's been a tough couple months for me. I'm not going to lie. So I just need you to tell me, really, that you're not retiring anytime soon. So just say, no, you don't have to give me a year.
No, I'm not. Although I'm very family centric and I would love to have a family. Not right now, obviously. But what I can guarantee you, once I have a kid, you will never see me on tour again. That's for sure.
In honor of that, thank you. I'm going to have a sip of my Tameatini today. So in honor of you. So
enjoy.
Okay. Let's now take a walk down Babos Boulevard and explore your fantastic career, Tamea. Wait, by the way, I just mentioned Serena. We have to talk about this for a moment because you played Serena. You played Serena and Venus in the finals of Wimbledon. Let's talk about 2016. That must have been so epic. What an amazing piece of tennis history. You actually played her in singles as well in 2015 at Wimbledon in the second round. I'm sure very, very memorable matches for you. What lasting memory sticks out?
Well, I remember the first time I saw them live. I was 15 years old, junior Wimbledon. No, Roland Garros, sorry. It was Roland Garros. And I asked them to take a picture and they were super nice. They were smiling and they just took the picture with me. And then after, a few years later, I had one of the biggest win of my career. It was against Venus on one of my favorite tournament in Rome. So that was obviously huge. Mm-hmm. And then once we lost to them in a first round of US Open, when they just decided to play and we were already like one of the top teams and we lost to them in, I'm not sure if it was three sets maybe, but I think the second and third set was already like not so tight. And then, that year I played Serena in singles. And well, I mean, let me tell you that she obviously won singles and then doubles. Like I was playing good. I had like my best singles period that time. And I lost the first set 6-4. And the second set, I remember I was one love and then I had love 40 on her serve. And then she just aced me like four times and one serve that I like couldn't even, I touched the ball. And I said like, this is unbelievable. Like when she played her best tennis and especially the serve, it was like unreturnable on grass. And then that year for me, Wimbledon was also special because I normally play on the backhand side in doubles while with the Slava Shvedova. With Slava, I played on the forehand side and we beat every like good team. We beat Hingis, Mirza, we beat, I don't even know now who, but anyways, but then we got to the final and I actually felt pretty confident because we beat all the like top teams. And then like Serena just won her singles like right before. And then I played her a few times, but the way she played that final and then obviously Venus, she's a great doubles player too. I mean, they're legends. So we had some crazy points. I was aiming her a few times and then she just hit me back. And then we had a lot of laugh and it was full stadium. And then we went to the Champions Ball and I have a picture with her from there and she's just cool. She's like, she was always a nice person to me, which is nice because I can tell you that not every player is like that. And I think I have even more respect for this to her.
Oh, I love that. I love sharing that story. Again, it's been quite painful. You got Roger and Serena both retiring. It's been nuts for everybody, really. So, but also you've had a pretty nuts kind of few months of tennis yourself. I mean, from the US Open to Slovenia, I mean, we're going to talk today about your emotional ringer that you've had the past few months. And it's one of the reasons why your fans love you so much because you're always willing to share with people via your Instagram and social media. And I think it's so great that you're here today because there's so much to unpack from your years on the WTA rankings. So I've compiled the most popular topics that your fans want answers to. The topics today range from the beginning of your career all the way to today at home in Budapest. And along the way, I actually have a few Tamea trivia questions that will test just how well you know your very own Tamea tennis timeline.
Oh, okay.
So let's start today. All right, Tamea, I'd love to start today's show by traveling all the way back into your tennis mind. Do you remember the very first tennis match you watched live or on television? What's the first tennis memory that comes to mind as a kid? I know you just mentioned that French Open, but before that,
Oh, yeah. So how I got into tennis is that I was a swimmer. My family didn't want me to play tennis. And then I was swimming and I already started competing in swimming. But at the same time at home, I was watching tennis on TV and it was Roland Garros. So I was like 9 years old and I just learned how to write and like how to, you know, in school. And I was pretending that I'm the referee. So, and I was doing statistics. I was doing a full-on statistic. I was like saying out loud the score, and then I did like winner, unforced error, ace, like a full-on statistic. So,
Tamea, I did this too. I did this too. This is crazy. I love it. Yeah, oh, yes.
So I was maybe like 9 years old when I did that. So, but I remember it was clay and big tournaments. So it must have been Roland Garros. So that's what I remember. And then my first match, I also remember, obviously. I started quite late and I started in a club, which was not very good. And then my mom was coming with me on tournaments and she always told my dad, who is like a really good tennis coach. He's the Fed Cup captain and like he taught many good players, even now from the top 100 of the Hungarian women, like he was coaching them. So, yeah. So then my mom was begging literally my dad to teach me and to coach me. And then my dad was like, no, no, no. And then one tournament, my dad came with me and he said like, yeah, this kid can play tennis, but she doesn't know anything. She's just like copying what others are doing. And I was literally doing this because nobody taught me how to play. So, but yeah, my first match, I was 10 years old and I know where it was. So, yeah.
I mean, let's keep going because honestly, the beginning of your career was absolutely amazing. You were an absolute phenom getting all the way to number 2 in the ITF junior rankings. And you got to 5 junior Grand Slam doubles finals in your career, winning 3 of them, which is so epic. Doubles has been a big part of your DNA since you were young. You mentioned your sister taught you a little bit about doubles. Where do you think that natural instinct on the doubles court came from?
Oh, it was my dad. I did many sports, like I'm still doing a lot, but we played always basketball. We played handball, which is like a really European sport, but still handball. Then obviously like swimming, but then we played football, then like, yeah, tennis, then ice skating. So he was always teaching me to be not only athletic, but to play, you know, to have feelings and everything. And it's funny because after, like now, even when like I play, doesn't matter, like I just throw a football or like, you know, I have feelings in every kind of sports a little bit thanks to my dad. And from young age he was teaching me also in my style of tennis to not only hit the ball full power but to teach me how to slice, to drop shot, to come to the net, to have volleys. And then like, yeah, many times I mean he was hitting at me on the net, and when I was younger maybe he even hit me, you know, but then I learned obviously how to put up my rackets, so not often they hit me on a match, you know. And then after, like my sister, we have 8 years of age difference. So then she was already at college and I was younger. And then she was teaching me a little bit. And then I only played one national championship adults. Like I won juniors, like maybe 30, I don't know, a lot. But I'm like team, doubles, singles, like under 10, 12, whatever. But then I only played once the adults with my sister and I was 14 and a half and she was then 22 and a half and we won the doubles together.
Oh,
so yeah,
so you're undefeated though. That's good. That keeps it
yeah,
nice.
And then we played backhand because she's lefty. I'm so jealous, all my family is lefty except me. We played backhand and then we ended up winning without dropping a set. And yeah, so I mean she helped me a lot with doubles for sure.
You have a fan on Twitter, GraphGoat46, that asks you, with a player like you who was almost unbeatable on a doubles court growing up, were there certain drills or maybe skills that you had mastered at an early age that maybe you were much more far advanced than most juniors on a doubles court? What made you so great as a junior player?
Well, yeah, I mean, we practiced a lot, the volleys, obviously, and the positioning and I mean, I had to study well in school, so I'm good with the mathematics. And so I know the angles. So my dad was always like, we grew up on clay, like we're European Hungarians. So we always played on clay. And he was always like drawing on the clay, the margins and like the angles and where to move and how to cut the angle. And this was one thing. And the other thing, like I always had to, I remember, put back behind my left arm, behind my back, and I had to volley always with one hand just to have better feeling. So I remember this exercise, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And an unorthodox Bartoli type drill. I love it. Those kind of funky drills. Hey, it worked for her. Well, we were discussing your junior career. I actually have your very first Tamea trivia question today, and it's about your junior record.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I need a sip of my Tamea Tini for this one because, you know, I really want you to get this right. Here we go.
I have an unbelievable memory, but I don't know, like if it's very specific, then okay.
Okay. This one's not so much about you. This is about your legacy as a junior player. So let's talk about it. Tamea, you were one of only four female players in the history of junior tennis to have come within one match of a junior doubles career slam. Can you name any of the other three players that you share that record with? All three are currently still playing and active on tour. I know. Who else was like a junior phenom like you? I know. It's a tough one.
I wouldn't know. I didn't follow juniors. But I know the match. I remember, like, I won three with Sloan, Roland Garros, Wimbledon, and US Open. And that year, we played final of Austrian Open. And I was with Gabby Dabrowski.
I mean, amazing doubles player, too. I mean, you pick your partners very well. You really do.
Yeah.
We got Pavluchenkova, Krejcikova, and Radwanska, Ursula Radwanska. Also.
Oh, okay.
Also great. Yeah. All junior phenoms like you, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, your fan on Instagram in Budapest, actually, Anna Lakato says, Tamea, you were one of the best junior doubles players of all time. What was your transition like from junior tennis to pro tennis? What was that like for you coming from, you know, you were so good in juniors and then you're starting to play these big matches. What was that like for you?
Well, it's very different coming from Hungary because, yeah, I was a top two, top three junior for 2-3 years. But then after, I didn't get the same opportunities as other players from bigger nations. So they were more like forcing me to try to go to college because they thought that, okay, like I did well, but it's not a guarantee that I'm going to do well on the pro circuit. So then for me, I had to start from zero again, like from 10,000 tournaments, like 10Ks, qualification. Mm-hmm. And then I had a few junior exams, like what the ITF rewarded me with. So I had one wildcard to a 75K and two wildcards to 50Ks main draw. And that was it. But the rest, like I never had any wildcards. So I was really like going through a tough time, to be honest, because like from being on the biggest junior tournaments and like winning them and being around the best and top players, then to go back to a qualification of a 10K, it's not the same. But thankfully, I only had to play three 10Ks. And back then, I don't know how it is now, but to get a pro ranking, you had to get 3 points from three different tournaments. So for me, like I made from quali to the final, we have name days in Hungary. So from the first tournament on my name day, I lost on Sunday on the name of Tamea, Saint Tamea. And then the next weekend on the 10th of May, I made the final again and I won on my birthday. And again, I made another final. So my first ranking was like 690 or something, which was really good. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine that once I won the final, I went to the airport and I forgot to pick up my prize money.
Oh no.
And my coach was like, did you pick up your prize money? And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I never had money in my life. It was like, oh God, I forgot. We have to go back.
Oh, that's a great story to me. I love that. Yeah. But I do wonder because, you know, we talked a little bit about the legacy of Hungarian tennis and you said it, coming from your country comparative to other countries, was there pressure from the federation since you did so well in juniors when you're starting that first year? Was it like, we have to put all this effort into Tamea because she has to be the bright star of Hungary? Like, did you feel that pressure growing up?
Obviously I felt the pressure, but it was only my parents. I never had any help from the federation. And then we didn't have a good federation back then. And then I got very lucky first because when I was 15, I played in South America on grade one ITF tournaments and I was like 30, maybe junior. And then I got to meet a British person, like a coach, and he told me like, oh, you would play really good on grass. And I said like, yeah, whatever. I don't even know how it looks like. Like, obviously, I never played on it. So it's going to be my first time in Wimbledon to play this year. And he told me I could come and train in England. So then I trained in England for a year and a half. And they told me back then that it was like a scholarship kind of thing. But then my dad admitted that he paid for it. And I mean, wow. We are not coming from a wealthy family. So my parents, they really did everything for me. Like they didn't go on holidays for like, I don't know, 10, 15 years just to help me and my sister. So yeah, it was mostly my parents. And then I got lucky that when I was 16 and a half and I was top junior, then I had a Hungarian sponsor who told me to move back to Hungary to play in his club. And he built me a hard court, because imagine that we had back then, we had 5 hard courts total in Hungary. So we only had clay. Mm. And so he built me a hard court, and then I started to practice in his club. And then he was helping me, he said, until I become top 100, which I became within like a year and a half. So my transition was very fast. And when I broke into top 100, I was the youngest player in the top 100 at that point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you went from, I mean, you turned pro in 2011. 2012, you were already winning titles. I mean, right away.
Yeah.
In 2010, you finished at 320 in the world. I mean, that is crazy. By 2012, you had already reached the top 60. Your first WTA title, Tamea, would come in singles in the Monterey Open in February of that year. It was so quick. You beat Sara Errani and Serena Cristea to win that title. I mean, amazing. And you're building, you know, the idea of how you are as a player. I love that story that you just said. I mean, they're building courts for you. The investment is there. Your father is trying to give you everything he can to kind of set you up for success. And you took it and you ran with it. And you're already winning titles within a couple of years. What do you remember from that very special week in Mexico? I mean, your first title. That's amazing.
It's a crazy story. It's actually thanks to Serena. Imagine that. Because so I was around 180 or something when I started the year. And then I went to play Bogota, and I qualified in Bogota and got to the semifinal. It was a WTA. And then they didn't have this special exam before. So what it meant that I was in the qualification of Monterrey, but as I did well in Bogota, I couldn't make it to Monterrey. And then last minute, Serena pulled out from the main draw. And this is how I got into the main draw. And then I was the last in, last minute, like everything last. And then I ended up winning the tournament. And it was my fourth WTA like I ever played.
I mean, yeah. Thank you, Serena, right? Okay, to the GOAT, Serena gods. That's how it starts.
That was unbelievable.
She's giving. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. And and then after Monterrey, I became like top 70. And then everything changed, because within the 2 weeks, I played one semifinal, won another tournament. So like my schedule was just like upside down, you know, like I played maybe like 75Ks, 100Ks. And then within two tournaments, like I got to play only WTA main draw and big tournaments and everything. So, I mean, to be honest, my first main draw Grand Slam that year, Roland Garros, I pooped in my pants, like literally. I was so nervous, like I couldn't put one ball on court. I lost 1-0 like in 10 minutes. Like, okay, it was Angie Kerber. Like, okay.
Okay.
But still, like I didn't even know how to hold the tennis racket. I was so nervous. But like thankfully my transition was very fast, and then I stayed there for 10 years in the top 100. Yeah. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, your story is a lot different from a lot of other players who really spent years and years trying to build their ranking to get up there. And, you know, right away, you're just like, hey, I'm Tamea Babos. Here I am. I'm going to win my fourth tournament. I love it. Well, we're talking about your singles titles, and your second title would come in Hungary in 2017, 5 years later. And it was on home turf, which must have felt like a dream that week. If you can win in your own backyard, driving, you know, and screaming karaoke in the car and you know, going to a tournament and winning it. I mean, how amazing is that? Looking back, Tamea, on your career, how important was that week for you in Budapest to show the home crowd and I'm sure your friends and family? And, you know, I love the story of, you know, your dad keeping that secret from you about, you know, the courts and you know, that scholarship, because he knew that he had something special with you. And to be able to win your hometown tournament right there in front of your friends, I have chills already, because I'm just like, you know, there's so many people that are looking up to you and saying, okay, can you do this? Can you do this? And you did it. What was that week like for you?
Oh, it was interesting because I was in a 5-match losing streak and still I was number one seed that year. And I remember Lucy Safarova was the number two seed and we played doubles together and we got to the semifinal and then she pulled out. And then next day we played the final against each other. But yes, yeah, so I was like in the first match, I was obviously very nervous, but I mean, I played unbelievable. And for me to play in Hungary, you know, some players, they feel a lot of pressure to play at home. But a few, like maybe 2 years before, I had my first top 10 win on the same court when we were doing the Fed Cup. And I played Simona Halep and I beat her there.
Amazing. Amazing match.
And yeah, so for me to play at home and to be able to win it, like obviously it was, I mean, I was crying a lot. But I remember I lost the first set to Lucy and I just said to my box, I was like, you know that I'm going to win this match, you know, like I was 100% sure that I'm going to win it because I just couldn't figure out how to return her lefty serve on that surface. But then after I started to play better and it was, yeah, it was the title at the end. But yeah, I mean, I love playing at home. I always have not bigger motivation because I'm motivated in general, but I just like to have the vibe. And I mean, it gives me something more.
You talked about the nerves and, you know, I always get nervous playing, you know, in front of my family or my friends because you know, different nerves than you, I'm sure. But I mean, I wonder nerves at this point in your career, you said you feel like a veteran. We've been playing for a long time on tour. Is it more nerve-wracking to have those kind of moments like in Budapest where it's like, okay, I really want to perform well in front of my friends and family? Or are the nerves in the bigger matches at the Grand Slams? Or do the nerves come from, oh my gosh, I have to defend points this week? When you're playing right now in your career, where do you get the most nervous? Like, where do you have to kind of chill yourself out and say, okay, I need to take a breath here?
Oh, I think the first rounds are the toughest for everybody. I mean, even Rafa, he says it all the time that the first round is the toughest, no matter how many millions of matches we played. So yeah, just to get the feeling to start a tournament, it's always tricky. But on the biggest stages, no matter how bad I played at that period, or if I was down or something, if I got to the biggest stage, like if I played bad and then I got to play on a center court, like I immediately started to play better. So for me, like this is not giving any more pressure to play in front of a big crowd or a big stadium or to play a final. Okay, in the beginning, I lost a few finals because I was nervous. But after, like now, like on the key moments on big tournaments, I always played my best. So I think with experience, you learn it. But obviously, we're all nervous, but we're just handling it a bit better, maybe.
Well, you'd win another title in Taiwan in 2018 to bring your total to 3 WTA singles titles. Your fan on Instagram, at QuincyHardy04, asks, you've proven to be a great singles player in your career. Is the priority to keep focused on playing both singles and doubles?
Yeah, I mean, there is the pressure because everybody forgets that I actually did play singles and I was quite all right. So, you know, this is what I get.
No one forgets. This is the reminder. We're going to talk about your singles wins in a minute.
I know, but now I'm handling it better. But before I didn't feel good about this because even in Hungary, like everybody was like, oh my God, how come that you're not playing so good in singles, but you're amazing in doubles? And I was like, to be 30 in singles is not bad. So, I loved playing both. Obviously, the priority was on singles all the time. It was singles. I didn't play 100 million doubles tournaments. Like many times, we just played like 10, 11 a year and we got to the finals to most of the tournaments. So then it was enough, let's say. But if it's this point of my career, now I'm just enjoying and I'm going with the flow. I had a lot of bad things going around or with my tennis the last year. So now I'm just trying to learn from it and to go step by step. And then I'm playing both and I don't have priority. I just have priority on myself. So I just want to enjoy and to have like a last good chapter in the book, you know.
It's like having two different jobs though. You know, singles and doubles is so different because if you're getting so, you know, far in doubles, which you typically do, I mean, you're right. It's tough to balance that each week. And people don't realize how, not just like mentally, but physically. And there's so much that it takes to do that every week. So, hey, I mean, you're one of the very few people that have done it. So, you know, hey, air high five through Zoom to you, to Maya Babos. Okay. Well, before we move on to your doubles career that is senior host, your tomatinis are so good, apparently. I don't know. I gotta start that again. Before we move on to a doubles career that has seen you hoist 4 Grand Slam trophies, I wanted to highlight some of the success you've had on the singles court. Just to name a few, you've had wins over Venus Williams, we talked about in Rome. I mean, amazing early in your career. Mm-hmm. Naomi Osaka, you've beaten. Karolina Pliskova, Anna Ivanovic. We talked about that Halep match and Fed Cup in Budapest. I mean, your first top 10 win, I mean, in 2014, what a great match. That is how I discovered you. I said, oh, who is this person beating Halep? So, I mean, this is amazing. And I love watching you. Ons Jabeur, you've beaten. I mean, so many great, amazing names of the sport. Can I ask you, what would you say was your favorite win you've had on a singles court over the years so far in your career?
For me, the most memorable is Venus in Rome, because we played on Pietrangeli.
Oof.
And it was such a tight match, and it was late and it was long, and the atmosphere there is like, this is like the best court to play on. It was like the old court one at French Open.
Yeah.
And like, it was unbelievable. I love the tournament. It's my favorite city, Rome. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And I mean, she's a legend. So for me, obviously that would be the number one. But then on the other end, of course, to win a title, or I had mm-hmm. a lot of memorable matches, even that I lost some of them, like another match, US Open, I had a lot of memorable matches. I played Sharapova, I played Halep there. So yeah, I had I had big battles, a lot.
So many battles. Oh, so many battles. I love today. This is so fun. Well, honestly, I think, you know, what you've done in singles, I know that there's good things coming for you. Let's just keep focused on the positive and, you know, let's see. Let's have fun, right? Let's just keep having fun. Well, after a successful start to your career, Tamea, in singles in 2012, your first of 24, yes, 24 and counting career WTA titles would come that same year with the legendary Sue Shea beating another pair of legends in the finals, Lisa Raymond and Liesl Huber. Speaking of, where is Sue? Let's go. We need her to come back to the court as soon as possible, because I'm thinking you two would be great doubles partners again. We need to try this when she comes back.
I think she's having a baby.
Oh, goodness gracious. Then can we play with her child? Because you know the baby's going to be good too, right?
Oh, they're going to be good. Yeah.
Oh, fine. Fine, Sue. You heard this. That's breaking news. Here we go. All right. Well, all right, fine. If Sue is not coming, we're going to find somebody great for you. You've had so much success with so many different partners throughout your career. I wonder, what do you look for in a partner? Do you have to play the deuce side? I know you talked about playing with Shvedova a little bit and you mixed it up a little bit, but at this point, are you comfortable with where you're playing? Do they need to be more aggressive? I mean, what's your perfect partner scenario?
Personality.
Yeah, that's right. They better not be dull. Don't be boring.
Obviously, I'm not going to lie. The tennis is super important, because at the end of the day, it's business. Of course, I'm looking for someone who plays on the deuce side so I can stay on the backhand. But I mean, It doesn't matter. It's just a habit. But then after, what brings a good team together is the team, like the personality to get on the court, on and off the court.
But what do you need? Do you need someone to, you know, to be super positive one on the court? Are you high-fiving? Do you need somebody to kind of call the shots?
Most of the times I'm the boss on the court in terms of emotions and I think tactics too. But then I need the person who also calms me down at the same time. And I think in, like, let's say 90% of the time, I'm a very positive person. Of course, I made mistakes in my career. I did things to my doubles partners like I shouldn't have done. But this is tennis. This is life. We're not perfect. They did to me also like shitty things. But the most important is to forget and try to get on well and to play together and to have the same goals. So, yeah, that's also another thing, to have the same goals. And our tennis has to match. Like, I would lie if I say that it's not important. But after this happens, because everybody plays good tennis, so you can pick players that they can match you. But what keeps the team going is the teamwork and the mentality, I think.
So it's important right now for you in this time to have somebody that you would want to have lunch with after the match, right? You just, you know, it's important that we have a personality that's going to fit yours a little bit. Not about the titles. All right, well, there we go. Don't do shitty things to Tamea. That's it. That's very easy. And with the, I mean, come on, don't do it. Is there anybody that's playing today that you haven't played with yet that you really want to play with?
For sure, there would be many girls, but I mean, I would have to look up the rankings.
Don't say Danielle Collins. Don't say Danielle Collins, because we're going to talk about the US Open now, because we're still waiting for this one. I mean, come on. For those that didn't see, I mean, this was an Instagram post. The fact that the US Open decided not to give you a doubles wildcard with Danielle Collins, the number one American at the time, was the craziest thing. I mean, I don't know how you felt about it, but it was a head scratcher. So I'm sorry. On behalf of America, I apologize to you right now on this show. I mean, you didn't get that wild card.
I always believe there is two sides of every story. I also felt upset. But it's the past. I don't like to live in the past. I believe in the now. The now has the power. So, yeah, I mean, it happened. I just learned that I have to be better. So I don't need a wild card.
I love it. US Open has been, you know, you said you have had some great matches there, but you've had some weird kind of US Open things too. The whole,
oh my God,
the whole COVID thing with Mladenovic. I mean, that was very odd, taking you out of the tournament. Then you didn't get to play in 2021. I mean, 2022, this whole wildcard thing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we lost one doubles final at the US Open, the longest match ever, to Ashley Barty and Coco Vandeweghe from 6 match points or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as long like US Open is treating me well in singles, but I mean, it's on and off also, but the doubles is like, it really didn't work out so far.
I don't know. The world's falling apart. And, you know, you have hurricanes every week and in the world, you know, you have shootings in Thailand, war in Ukraine. You have, it's crazy. Where the hell is Peng Shui? Who knows what's going on? I mean, the world is crazy still right now. I don't know. Nothing makes sense. So, well, I'm glad that you're taking a positive spin on it. So I appreciate that. So, all right, let's talk about happier times. 4-time Grand Slam doubles champion in my midst right now. Former number one, Tamea Babos is here. We have to talk about your Grand Slam success. Can we talk about Kristina Mladenovic for a minute? Because your partnership with Kristina is one of the most successful of the past decade. Really, what made Babos and Mladenovic one of the best doubles teams? What was it about you two playing together?
Oh, we know each other since we're 10, 11 years old. I played against her when we were 11. We played the national, the team competition against each other, France and Hungary. We were both the number one players there and we played against each other. She was born 4 days later, like 4 days after me. So we celebrated birthdays together a lot. And then we played a few junior tournaments together. And then we started again in the pro circuit. Then she got injured. And then finally, we somehow reunited at Wimbledon. And we got to the finals and we lost to Errani Vinci in the finals. And then we just like started playing again more and more. And then we became more successful. And so what's the key? It was always, as I said, it was the partnership.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how...
The chemistry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with most of my doubles players I had huge success in the beginning of my career compared to, like, I mean, how young I was and how inexperienced I'm with Mandy Minella. And we were good friends and together with Andy Lavachkova and we became also like close. And then, so I mean, most of the times, as I said, I try to play with people I like. And with Kiki, it was like this. We were like sisters.
Okay, well, here, Tamea, is the last of your Tamea trivia questions for today. And this is about your iconic partnership with Kiki Mladenovic. You played so many amazing matches throughout your years with Kristina, including an epic win, 12-10 in the third against this team for your very first win together as a team in a Grand Slam. Which team did you beat for your first win together with Kiki Mladenovic at a Grand Slam?
Yeah, it was Wimbledon 2014.
Yes, yes.
2014 Wimbledon and Plíšková.
Yes, congrats. We got it.
Yeah.
This is good. Well.
Yeah, I have a crazy memory. Like my friends and my family is not happy about it. Because...
Agreed. Your boyfriend probably not so much either, by the way.
No, he doesn't. I know. He already told me that.
Yeah, well. Well, I know that Kristina wanted to concentrate more in singles, and that's why you started not to play so much together. But are we going to see Babos Mladenovic on the court again one day?
Well, that's the future. I don't know.
We don't know. That's right.
I cannot tell the future, but I mean, we're still talking, obviously. We're happy. So I mean, I really don't know. I would tell you if no, if the answer would be no or yes, but I have no clue.
Who knows? I think that's a perfect answer from you. I believe everything you're saying. I believe everything.
I mean, I'm an honest person. I say everything direct. Sometimes it could seem harsh, but yeah, but no, I really don't know.
2018 was an important year for you in your tennis career. You'd win your first Grand Slam title at the Australian Open with Kristina against Makarova and Vesnina. For everyone listening, I wonder how that felt on match point. I mean, this is 2018. You've been playing on tour for a while now. You've been close so many times.
Yeah.
What was that feeling like finally?
I mean, I know I lost a lot of Grand Slam finals. And so it was obviously huge because I was finally making that slam. And obviously, Kristina, she already won before me. And I had a few, or maybe only one that time. Masters, like the world finals title, and then yeah, I mean, I was going for the Grand Slam. This was something I was aiming and I was hoping and I was working for, and then I decided that I want to become number one in the world in doubles, and it was all happening.
It did. Speaking of Elena Vesnina, after Wimbledon that year, you would take over for her as you would become the 39th player in the Open era to be ranked number one. When you saw your name on that Monday's ranking as the number one doubles player in the world, what was that emotion like?
I remember we were in Wimbledon and it was the third round. And then if I won the third round, I would Ugh. Become number one, I remember. Ugh. And then I received, yeah, and I knew I won. And then I'm like, Kiki and the family and like my team, we were all there. And then one of my best friend was there. She brought me flowers. And then we lost, I think, that year in the quarterfinal. Yeah, I think quarterfinal we lost. So then next week I got to go on holidays with my family. It was a Christmas gift what I gave to my family already before. And we all went on holidays and like my sister just drew a huge number one in the sand. And like we did a picture. I mean, it came out on Monday and it was on the old school app to see like your name on top. It was something different for sure.
I mean, you get to tell your future family so much. You know, you played Serena, you know how you won your first title, you were number one. I mean, you have a lot of things. I mean, this is amazing today. It really, really is. Well, I do want to ask before we wrap up today, because, you know, you've played Serena and Venus and Vinci and Rani. I mean, some of these great, great teams, Makarova and Vesnina and Krejcikova and Siniakova and Maddox Sands and Safarova. You said Hingis and Mirza, so many great teams over the years. Who would you say has been the absolute toughest team to play against? Obviously, everyone's a battle. These are all legends that I just named. You're in the history books as, you know, legends of doubles. But was there like, you know, oh, I just don't want to play them. Like, they're going to be trouble for me.
It depends the surface, I have to tell you, because Serena and Venus, like, they won 16 Grand Slams, which is a joke. But let's say them on clay, I wouldn't say they were as strong as, for example, like, probably, yeah, Matek and Safarova on clay or Errani Vinci. But I mean, it's tough. Tennis and sport depends on the day. Like, we all play amazing. The level is really high. And then, like, the first final we played actually in Wimbledon, we played Errani Vinci and it was raining. They closed the roof and we were so happy they closed the roof because we were playing unbelievable. And we thought that the faster, the better for us. And we got killed. So this is tennis. You never know what's going to happen. You never know how you wake up that day, like what the opponent brings on the table, on the court. So it's tough. Like all these teams you mentioned, they were all amazing. So not easy to say one.
Tamea, we're wrapping up today. I got to say, we could do this another hour for sure. Your career has really been so successful. Between the two Australian Opens and the two French Opens, is there a moment with Kristina that really sticks out to you the most as we wrap up? If you'd never play another match with her, is there a match or a moment with her on the court that really maybe the best memory, happiest memory together?
Yeah, I think the second Australian Open, after the win on court, she started crying because she was in a really bad singles match losing streak. I think she lost like 16 in a row in singles. And then, I mean, in doubles in the beginning of the tournament, she was not on the top of her level. And then as we were like sticking together and playing each match, like match by match, and then in the final, she was already amazing. And yeah, it was special because like I felt like she broke her glass a bit, and then then next week she went on playing a final on a WTA, and I went on winning that Taiwan Open. So I mean, it was something special. And then for me personally, is like when my family got to see me win a title. It was at French Open. Like all my family came, even my little nephew, and my sister was pregnant with the second nephew. So, and my parents, and it was my friends, like my best friend. She came back. She played qualies in singles, and then she came back to watch the doubles final. So yeah, for me that was special that like my family got to see that.
That is so great. Well, we have one last question today from a fan on Twitter. Namensky, you were always so open to your fans about your emotions, and we thank you for that. You had a very strange incident in Poltoroz on the doubles court that you posted on your Instagram. Is that the most bizarre incident you've experienced in your career, or can you recall any other crazy on-court moments?
Yeah, for sure. There are a lot. As I said, I'm an honest person. But I'm not looking for a fight. Like, don't misunderstand. No. I just don't like when somebody is not straightforward, or as you said before, I don't like how the world is turning inside out. I like people to, or I want people to be honest and nice and kind and truthful, and we should all love each other, and like, it should be simple. That's it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't understand when on court these things happen, you know. Like, I have all the respect for Casper Ruud, that in the final he gave 2 points to Alcaraz. Like, I mean, it should be like this, because at the end of the day, it's just tennis. So yeah, I like to be honest. Sometimes, yeah, of course, I push the limit. But also on the other end, like when I was younger, I couldn't handle this pressure and all the negative things they say about me, they write about me, they text me, like all the betting people and all this and that. And you know, you have a lot of bad things going around you.
Can you block that out though? Or are you better now that you've been playing? I mean, can you ignore, you know, the crazy bettors and all these?
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm a big reader, as you said. So I have a few good books that I read in the past 2-3 months and during my injury also. But now that also, let's say at the moment I'm less successful that I'm used to and I was before. And now I really see how people are and who are the real people. And even like when I was on top, you know, like when I was winning, people liked me more. When I was losing, they liked me less. I don't understand this. So I'm not only a tennis player, I'm a human being, and this is what it should be, you know. And yeah, I want the people to be fair. I mean, I say it out loud. So yeah, that's one thing that I like about social media, and that I can say things that I don't agree with. It doesn't mean that I'm right, but I have my opinion and I like to say it sometimes.
I mean, for those who don't know, we were referencing a match where there was, you know, it got a little heated. You called out a player that you felt was intentionally cheating. I'm sure you organized that behind the scenes, and you know, you had your own words with them. And
yes, we did.
Yeah. And you know, that's the proper way to handle it sometimes, you know. There you go. What is that, the most mad you've ever been on court? I mean, do you have a temper on the court, or does it take you a minute if you lose a match afterwards to, you know, can I talk to you afterwards, or do you need like 10 minutes to chill out? And
no, I'm not mad after the match. Like I could be disappointed or sad or happy. Like, obviously I don't like to speak too much about what I did wrong right after the match, but no, you can talk to me. And of course I have a temper on court. I know. I mean, I can go crazy on court, but not towards the opponent or my partner. It's mostly towards myself. And then if I feel that something shouldn't have happened, like this thing, then yes, I'm mad. But after, like, off court, I'm chilled. I'm nice. I'm smiling. I'm happy. I try to help everybody. Like, even my best friend she said, like, she doesn't even recognize me, like, how I am in a relationship or with my friends or with everybody. Like, I mean, I try to see the good thing in people. And sometimes I'm naive. And now, as we said, the world is not the same as it was. So now we have to be a bit more careful. But in general, I mean, I think it's easy to get on with me. It's not hard.
No, I get the positive vibes. I get the uplifted spirit. I mean, this was great today. It really, really was. And I think Everyone listening, you know, we're going to continue to send positive vibes your way for your journey. This was so fun today. By the way, how many times in your career did people confuse you with Tamea Baczynski?
Never.
No, never. It's such a great name.
Yeah, she's not on tour anymore, but no. Yeah, I mean, it's random. She's half Hungarian, but my name is not very common even in Hungary. So it's funny that she was on tour with the same name.
I can't thank the fantastic Tamea Babos enough for joining me today.
Thank you.
Our guest today can be found on Instagram at Tamea Babos or on Twitter at Tamea Babos. Please follow her tennis journey as she climbs back up the WTA rankings and plays another 10 years on tour.
Okay.
Yeah, wink, wink. And while you're on Instagram, shoot me a DM at John Garica. Let me know who you're a big fan of and whose story you'd like to hear on an upcoming show. Also, don't forget to follow us at Fantastic Tennis Pod or on Twitter at FanTennisPod. My name is John Garica, and thank you for listening. This has been fantastic. See ya.
Bye. See ya.